Chapter 9, just after the festival. The first chariot festival has now been completed, and the chariot has returned to Nilachal. On the return journey, Mahaprabhu and all his associates continue to think they were going to Braj from Kurukshetra, and they perform the same pastimes on their journey to Gundicha. Srila Krishna's Kaviraj Goswami explained that they did not think Krishna is returning to Dwarka. Even at the time of returning, they always maintained the idea, we are taking Krishna to Vrindavan. One day, after the chariot festival was over, Nityananda Prabhu sat with Mahaprabhu discussing something confidentially. After that, Mahaprabhu called all his Gaudiya Bhaktas and one by one glorified them all to each other. For example, he said, "Do you know this devotee? This is Raghava Pandit. Throughout the year, he and his sister Damayanti cook many delicious dry preparations and bring them here to me. I keep them with me and eat them little by little throughout the next year." Then he said, "Do you know this Vasudev Datta? He is a very high-class devotee. I cannot repay him. Every day he spends whatever money he receives for Hari, Guru and Vaishnavas. He does not keep a single paisa for himself. O Shivananda Sen, you should be his accountant and try to keep his accounts. A householder should have some balance to maintain his family. He should not be penniless. Try to keep some of his money aside so that he can maintain his family. Otherwise, he will spend everything on me." In this way, Mahaprabhu called the devotees one by one. He called Satyaraj Khan, a devotee of Kulinyagram, and said, "Gunaraj Khan, the father of Satyaraj Khan, has written in his book, The Glory of Krishna, Sri Krishna Vijay. Krishna is my Prananath, my beloved, and he is the only lord of my life's breath. For this reason, I have sold myself to his dynasty forever. What to speak of his family? I honor a dog of their village. All the dogs, because they take only prasad and observe Ekadashi. I must honor them. If they come to me, I must pacify and caress them. They are devotees." Mahaprabhu blessed Satyaraj Khan and told him, "Every year you should bring a very thick, strong rope from your village. You are extremely wealthy, like a king, so bring it somehow." Each year, Satyaraj Khan would bring new rope, because the rope by which the chariots are pulled breaks every year during the festival. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu glorified many devotees in this meeting, and he also requested Nityananda Prabhu, "O Nityananda, return to Bengal and preach there. Advaita Acharya, you should also go there and preach everywhere. Go to those who are neglected by society. Preach to them and inspire them to chant the holy name. I will be very happy if you do this, and I will also be happy if Nityananda Prabhu does not come here each year. He should spend most of his time preaching there. I am explaining this same mission to you. You should all try to preach and help other devotees. And when I come next year, each of you should bring at least 10 sweet flowers, new people, and help them become devotees." Nityananda Prabhu tried to do this, and he especially embraced those who were neglected, like the Sudras, Kayashtas, and Suvarnavaniks. Suvarnavanik means gold jewelers. They are neglected in India because they charge money even when making an ornament for their mothers. They will not give any concession, even to their fathers and mothers. And because of their greediness, they are hated by society. No Brahmana or Kshatriya will take even water from their homes, but Nityananda Prabhu mercifully went to them, embraced them, and told them, "Can you chant Hare Krishna? Please say it just once." In this way, he preached all over Bengal. "I am also going everywhere in a similar mood. and you should also follow these principles. Satyaraj Khan and the residents of Kulinyagram then approached Mahaprabhu and asked some questions. In Sri Chaitanya Charitamrita, Madhya Lila, chapter 15, verse 102 to 103, it is stated,
Tabe Ramananda ara Satyaraja Khan Prabhura Charana Kichu Kaila Nivedan.
Translation. After this, Ramananda Vasu and Satyaraj Khan both submitted questions at Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's lotus feet.
Grihasta Vishaya Ami Kimura Sadan Sri Mukhe Agyan Karu Prabhu Nivedi Charan.
Translation. Satyaraj Khan said, My dear Lord, I am a householder and a materialistic man. I do not know the process of advancing in spiritual life. I therefore submit myself unto your lotus feet and request you to instruct me. End of translation. This question was not for Satyaraj Khan. It was for all householders. Try to hear this instruction of Mahaprabhu and obey it. We have also completed our own chariot festival, so Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is speaking to all of you.
Prabhu kahena Krishna seva Vaishnava sevan Narantara kara Krishna nama sankirtan.
Sri Chaitanya Charitamrita, Madhya Lila, chapter 15, verse 104. Translation. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu replied, Continue to chant the holy name of Lord Krishna without cessation. Whenever possible, serve him and his devotees, the Vaishnavas. End of translation. Yes, this is the main thing, always serving Vaishnavas and always engaging in Krishna's service. Sri Satyaraj Khan then asked another question for clarification. He said, I know how to chant Krishna's name. What you have explained is clear. One pair of kartels, two, three, four, five or more devotees chanting together, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. This is Sankirtan. Kirtan is performed when one chants alone, and Sankirtan is performed when many assemble together under the guidance of a self-realized devotee. At that time, it will be Sankirtan. Otherwise, without such guidance, it is like the barking of dogs. Try to know these truths. So it is clear, Satyaraj and Ramananda Vasu told Mahaprabhu, And we also know how to serve Krishna by performing archan from the beginning of the day, from morning to evening, offering arati, bathing the deities, offering them Raj Bhog at midday, and at 3 o'clock offering more Bhog, and then again at night, Raja Bhog, Kirtan and arati. This is Krishna Seva. In addition, those who are qualified should remember the pastimes of Krishna throughout the 8 divisions of the day and night. This is Krishna Seva. But what is Vaishnava Seva? How can we recognize a Vaishnava? Please let us know who is a Vaishnava and what are his common symptoms. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu replied in the following verses, Sri Chaitanya Charitamrita, Madhya Lila, chapter 15, verse 106 to 108.
Prabhu kahe yandra mukhe sune ekabar, Krishna name se puja shrestha sabakar.
Translation. Whoever chants the holy name of Krishna just once is worshipable and is the topmost human being.
Eka Krishna nama kare swarupapa shaya, nava vida bhakti purna nama hoite haya.
Translation. Simply by chanting the holy names of Krishna, one is relieved from all the reactions of a sinful life. One can complete the 9 processes of devotional service simply by chanting the holy name.
Diksha purashchaya vidi apeksha nakar, jiva sparsha achandale sabara udar.
Translation. One does not have to undergo initiation or execute the activities required before initiation. One simply has to vibrate the holy name with his lips. Thus, even a man in the lowest class, a chandala, can be delivered. End of translation. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu then quoted a shloka from the Puranas to support this.
Akristi krita chetasam samanasam uchananam chamasam achandalam amukha loka sulabo vasyascha mukti shriyaha na dikshan na cha satkriyam na cha purashchayam manag ikshate mantro yam rasanad sprig eva falati shri krishna namat makaha.
Padyavali 29, Chaitanya Charitamrita, Madhyalila chapter 15, verse 110. Translation: the holy name of Lord Krishna is an attractive feature for many saintly, liberal people. It is the annihilator of all sinful reactions and is so powerful that except for the dumb who cannot chant, it is readily available to everyone, including the lowest type of man, the chandala. The holy name of Krishna controls the opulence of liberation, and it is identical with Krishna. Immediate effects are produced when one simply touches the holy name with one's tongue. Chanting the holy name does not depend on initiation, pious activities, or the purushchaya, the regulative principles generally observed before initiation. The holy name does not wait for all these activities. It is self-sufficient.
Ataiva yandra moke eka krishna nam seta vaishnava kariha tanhara saman.
Sri Chaitanya Charitamrita, Madhyalila chapter 15, verse 111. Translation: Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu then finally advised, one who is chanting the Hare Krishna mantra is understood to be a Vaishnava. Therefore, you should offer all respects to him. End of translation. This reply was given in the first year. Sri Satyaraj Khan asked his question again the next year, and Chaitanya Mahaprabhu replied with deep meaning. You should honor one who chants with some honor for Harinam, whether he is initiated or not. If he does not commit any offense, and if he follows the basic principles regarding gambling, smoking, meat-eating, and other sins, he should be honored because he can be freed from past offenses and he may become liberated. On the third year, the question was asked again. This time, Mahaprabhu explained something more, and his explanation became complete. Through the Kalinya Gram residence, he is gradually teaching the general public, saying in effect that if you want to advance, you will have to take initiation. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu himself took initiation. All these descriptions of the good effects of chanting will not apply to you if you neglect the teachings of Srila Rupa Goswami, Srila Sanatana Goswami and Mahaprabhu by not taking initiation. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's replies in the first and second years were meant to encourage those who do not know that we must accept initiation. Those who want to be pure devotees and have heard Harikatha from such pure devotees must accept initiation, give up all their offenses, become advanced, and realize their relationships with Krishna.
Narahari Sarakara, Mukundadas, and Raghunandan were Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's intimate associates from the village of Shrikhand near Navadvip Dham.
They were also present there in that first year, and Mahaprabhu glorified them too. He called Mukundadas and asked him in front of all the devotees, Mukundadas, are you Raghunandan's father, or is Raghunandan your father? Mukunda and Vasu Ghosh were both very good kirtaniers and very near and dear associates of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, and Raghunandan was Mukunda's son. Still, Mahaprabhu asked Mukunda, are you Raghunandan's father, or is Raghunandan your father? I have some doubt. He knew that Raghunandan was Mukunda's son, but he still asked, "Who is the son and who is the father? Tell me your decision." Mukunda smiled as he replied, "Raghunandan is my father, and I'm his son. A father is actually he who gives Krishna Bhakti. Our whole family has received Krishna Bhakti from Raghunandan, so he is not my son, I am his son. One may be considered someone's father in a worldly sense, but the real father is he who can give Krishna Bhakti." Mahaprabhu became extremely happy and said, "Oh, my doubt has been dispelled. One who awakens Krishna Bhakti is the real spiritual master. You are truly a very advanced devotee." A devotee may have received diksha, initiation from someone who is not actually qualified to give Krishna Bhakti. For example, the devotee may have followed others who inspired him to take diksha. It may be that he did not know the meaning of diksha when he took initiation, but that upon receiving the good association of a pure devotee afterwards, he came to understand, "I am receiving bhakti from this pure devotee. Who then is his guru? Yanra hoite Krishna bhakti se guru hoy." The person from whom one receives pure bhakti is actually guru, and he should be honored as such. This is called Bhagavat Parampara. The Krishna bhakti referred to by Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is the goal of life, prayojan, of all those in the line of Srila Rupa Goswami. The goal he had explained to Rupa Goswami himself. Madan Mohan established our sambandha, relation with him. Govinda gives Abhideya, the process to realize that relationship. And Gopinath is the presiding deity of prayojan. However, Gopinath himself is not our prayojan. Our prayojan is the love and affection that Radhika has for Gopinath. Our prayojan is not the prem that Krishna has for Radhika and others. Krishna is undoubtedly the ocean of rasa, but he is not our prayojan. The topmost prayojan is the gopi's love for Krishna, and amongst all the gopis, Srimati Radhika's love and affection, her Adiruddha Mahabhava for Krishna, not for Krishna, but for Gopinath. This understanding is not for everyone. It is for rare devotees. The process to achieve this prayojan is stated in Sri Chaitanya Charitamrita, Madhya Lila, Chapter 8, verse 229.
Gopi anugatya vina aishwarya jnane bhajileha nahi pai vrajendra nandan.
No one can attain realization of this love of Radhika for Gopinath unless he follows in the footsteps of the gopis. But this is not achieved by following all the gopis. We can never achieve it by following Yashoda. We cannot attain it if we follow other gopis. Chandravali has Mahabhav, but there is something lacking in her. This highest love is only possible by following the special mood of Radhika, and it is achieved if we will practice under guidance, Anugatya. However, we cannot serve under the guidance of Radhika, nor can we follow her dear Sakis, Lalita and Vishakha. We can only perform Anugatya to Sri Rupa Manjari, Rati Manjari, and Sakis like them. We must especially follow Rupa Manjari, who is always serving Srimati Radhika. Rupa Manjari becomes happy when Radhika is happy, and she feels separation when Radhika feels separation. Sometimes she is so absorbed in the same mood as Radhika that she cannot pacify her, whereas Lalita and Vishakha can do so. This is because Lalita and Vishakha are not as absorbed as Rupa Manjari and Rati Manjari are. The highest class of love that a jiva can achieve is Krishna Prem, namely Radhika's Prem for Gopinath, attained under the guidance of the Manjaris. There is no other process, and there will never be another process. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu himself has said this. Here, Mahaprabhu is speaking about the person who can give Krishna Bhakti, and the Krishna Bhakti to which he refers is this prayojan. One who gives this is actually guru. If the Shiksha Guru is giving this, whereas the Diksha Guru is not, then the Shiksha Guru is in Bhagavat Parampara, and he should be given preference. He is more authentic, and he should be honored more. Because you are performing regulative bhakti at present, you cannot understand this or follow it fully. Only those who are engaging in spontaneous devotion, Raganuga Bhakti, will understand. Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur could realize this. Therefore, he gave more preferences to Srila Jagannath Das Babaji Maharaj than to his Diksha Guru, Vipin Bihari Goswami. Shyamananda Prabhu, Narottam Das Thakur, and Srinivasacharya gave more preference to Srila Jiva Goswami than to their own Diksha Gurus. Srila Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami gave more preference to Srila Rupa Goswami and Srila Raghunath Das Goswami than to his Diksha Guru, and he writes at the end of every chapter of his Sri Chaitanya Charitamrita,
Sri Rupa Raghunatha Pade Yara Ash Chaitanya Charitamrita Kahe Krishna Das.
Praying at the lotus feet of Sri Rupa and Sri Raghunath, always desiring their mercy, I, Krishna Das, narrate Sri Chaitanya Charitamrita, following in their footsteps. This is Bhagavat Parampara, and it is very good if the Diksha Guru is also in this Bhagavat Parampara. Try to know these very secret truths. Totally absorbed in glorifying all his devotees, one by one, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu then said, "Just hear the glory of Mukunda. By occupation, he is an Ayurvedic doctor, a Raj Vaidya, a royal physician, and he only treats kings and other royalty. He is not available for ordinary people. Externally, he appears to be a royal physician, engaged in governmental service, but internally, he has deep love for Krishna. Who can understand his love?" One day, the royal physician Mukunda Das was seated on a high platform with the Muslim king, and was telling the king about medical treatment. While the king and Mukunda Das were conversing, a servant brought a fan made of peacock feathers, which he held above the king's head to shade him from the sun. When Mukunda Das saw the fan of peacock feathers, he became absorbed in ecstatic love for God, and fell from the high platform onto the ground. The king was afraid that the royal physician had been killed, so he descended and personally brought him to consciousness. When the king asked Mukunda, "Where are you in pain?" Mukunda replied, "I am not in very much pain." The king then inquired, "Mukunda, why did you fall down?" Mukunda replied, "My dear king, I have a disease like epilepsy." The king was extraordinarily intelligent, however, so he could understand the whole affair. In his estimation, Mukunda was a most uncommon, exalted, liberated personality. Mahaprabhu then glorified the devotion of his associate Raghunandan.
Raghunandan seva kore Krishna re mandir, dvare pushkarini taragatera uper, kadambera eka vrikshe fute baramas, nitya due fule hoy Krishna avatams.
Chaitanya Charitamrita, Madhyalila, chapter 15, verse 128 to 129. Translation: Raghunandan is constantly engaged in serving Lord Krishna in the temple. On the bank of a lake beside the entrance of the temple is a kadamba tree, which daily delivers two flowers to be used for Krishna's service. End of translation. It was because of Raghunandan's love and elevated bhakti that the kadamba tree used to give two flowers every day, even in the winter, whether or not it was the season for them to bloom. Mahaprabhu said that his bhakti was so high that the tree was always controlled by his love and gave two flowers to him, only because he wished it to do so. Mahaprabhu then gave three different instructions to three different devotees. He again spoke to Mukunda with sweet words. "Your duty is to earn both material and spiritual wealth. Furthermore, it is Raghunandan's duty to always engage in Lord Krishna's service. He has no other intention but the service of Lord Krishna. He then ordered Narahari, "I wish you to remain here with my devotees. In this way, the three of you should always execute these three duties for the service of the Lord." Raghava Pandit is another intimate associate of Mahaprabhu. He used to collect very sweet coconuts from different places to offer to Krishna. One day he had some coconuts brought from very far away. He had them cut and prepared, and he was going to offer them to the deity. However, as his servant was carrying the basket of coconuts on his head, he put his hands on the ceiling and then touched the coconuts again. Raghava Pandit told his servant, "Take the coconuts out and throw them into the river or anywhere else. They cannot be offered to the deity. The dust from the people's feet has risen onto the ceiling, and you touch the ceiling and then touch the basket of coconuts, so the basket and everything in it is impure." Just see how strict these Vaishnavas were. As mentioned previously, in the second year, Mahaprabhu again glorified all the devotees after the Ratha Yatra festival. You should also try to glorify devotees and do not criticize them. If you want bhakti, never commit any offense. Try to honor others, even if they are not initiated, as long as they are not offensive and as long as they do not criticize anyone. Otherwise, do pranam to them from very far away. In other words, avoid their association. One of the Kulinya Gramvasis again asked, "Now we are returning home, so what is our duty? What should we do?" "Listen very carefully and try to understand this," the Lord replied. "You should engage yourself in the service of Krishna's servants and always chant Krishna's holy name. If you do these two things, you will very soon attain shelter at Krishna's lotus feet." The inhabitants of Kulinyagram asked, "Please let me know who is actually a Vaishnava and what his symptoms are." Understanding his mind, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu smiled and explained two principles, Vaishnava Seva and Nam Sankirtan.
Krishna Nama Nirantara Yanharavadane Se Vaishnava Shrestha Bhaje Tanhara Charane.
Sri Chaitanya Charitamrita, Madhya Lila 16, verse 72. A person who is always chanting the holy name of the Lord is to be considered the best of Vaishnavas, and your duty is to serve his lotus feet. End of translation. In the first year, Mahaprabhu had given a general answer, but now he is replying more specifically. Actually, to chant means to chant the pure name. Those who are not initiated can never chant the pure name. Rather, they always chant with offenses. In this verse, the word Shrestha, meaning best, does not refer to the Uttam Adhikari devotee. In this specific connection, it refers to those who are initiated and who are Madhyam Madhyam Adhikari, or Uttam Madhyam Adhikari. That is, it refers to the intermediate and topmost Madhyam Adhikaris. They have given up all varieties of offenses, and they always chant and remember Krishna's holy name in their specific relationship with him. The first year, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu had told the inhabitants of Kulinyagram that one should give respect to Vaishnavas, and the second year he told his followers to serve them. Bhaja means to serve. There are some differences between those Vaishnavas who should be only honored and those who should be served, but those who do not have high-class association cannot understand these differences. On the one hand, they seem very subtle, but on the other hand, they are like the difference between the earth and the sky. A Nirantara devotee is one who can continuously chant and remember Krishna 24 hours a day. The word Nirantara means without any interruption, and it applies to one who is like Srila Haridas Thakur, who was a disciple of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu himself. Haridas Thakur chanted without offense, and he even transformed a prostitute into a Shuddha Bhakta by his association. What do you think about the bhajan of Srila Raghunath Das Goswami and Srila Rupa Goswami? Were they always chanting Krishna's names 24 hours a day? They were writing books like Ujjvala Nilamani throughout the day and night, so how could they chant all the time? In fact, sometimes they did not chant for 2, 3, 4, 5 days because they were not in external consciousness. Tears would flow from their eyes and they would begin to faint when they tried to chant. Does this verse apply to Srila Rupa Goswami and Srila Raghunath Das Goswami? Certainly it does. Theirs was real chanting of Krishna's names. Their cooking was chanting and everything else they did was chanting. They were totally absorbed in chanting. Similarly, Srila Shukadev Goswami was the best kirtaniya, even though he was not playing on harmonium or kartels. His kirtan took the form of always glorifying Krishna and his holy name, remembering him and being absorbed in him. Such devotees are more than nirantara. Haridas Thakur and many others can be accepted in the category of nirantara, but Rupa Goswami, Raghunath Das Goswami and Shukadev Goswami are more than this. The inhabitants of Kalinyagram had asked this question in the previous year. Why are they asking again? This was the same question. First, who is a Vaishnava? And then again, who is a Vaishnava? It is not that the Kalinyagram Vasis were foolish for asking the same question each year. They were exalted Vaishnavas, Uttam Adhikaris, and that is why they were asking, for the benefit of all ordinary devotees. Mahaprabhu first explained about general Vaishnavas, then about the best second-class Vaishnavas, and after that, in the third year, he told them about first-class Vaishnavas. What he had said in the previous year concerned the second-class devotees, and what he had said in the first year was about the third-class devotee, the Kanishta devotees. Third class, second class, and now he is speaking about the Uttam Maha Bhagavats, who are all more than liberated.
Yanradashanam Mukhe Aisha Krishnanam Tanhare Janiha Tumi Vaishnava Pradhan.
Sri Chaitanya Charitamrita, Madhya Leela, Chapter 16, Verse 74. Translation. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu said, a first-class Vaishnava is he whose very presence makes others chant the holy name of Krishna.
Krama kori kahe Prabhu Vaishnava lakshan Vaishnava Vaishnava tara ara Vaishnavatam.
Sri Chaitanya Charitamrita, Madhya Leela 16, verse 75. Translation. In this way, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu taught the distinctions between different types of Vaishnavas, Vaishnava, Vaishnavatara, and Vaishnavatama. Thus, he successfully explained all the symptoms of a Vaishnava to the inhabitants of Kalinyagram. End of translation. All devotees are Vaishnavas, but some are third class, some are second class, and others are first class. We are all Vaishnavas, but the degrees of our Vaishnavata, qualification of Vaishnava, are not the same. In fact, they may be thousands of degrees difference. A Kanishta Adhikari can never discriminate between one degree and another. He has no intelligence to think about the differences. The Kanishta Madhyam, lower level Madhyam, is also not very qualified. But the Madhyam Madhyam, intermediate Madhyam, is somewhat more qualified, and the Uttam Madhyam, topmost Madhyam, can behave towards all Vaishnavas according to their quality and stage. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu said that there are three divisions, Vaishnava, Vaishnavatara, and Vaishnavatama. But there are not only three divisions. Sri Rupa Goswami explained the many thousands of stages of Vaishnavas. But who will recognize all these different stages? Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur has said, Yayena Vaishnava Chinaya Lai Adara Koribe Yabe. If you know an advanced Vaishnava's category of qualification, and you show him respect, according to that category or ability, you can get his mercy and achieve the ultimate goal of life very quickly. Otherwise, it is not possible to achieve your ultimate goal in spiritual life. If you cannot recognize what Vaishnava is in what class, you will wrongly judge and think, oh, he is like me, or he is a Maha Maha Bhagavat, and everyone else is junior to him. Oh, Srila Rupa Goswami is also junior to my Maha Maha Bhagavat. You are helpless in this regard, so how can you decide? If you have the causeless mercy of Rupa Goswami and his associates, you can be qualified to recognize Vaishnavas and honor them accordingly, otherwise not. For example, it may be that when you consider the respective qualities of Rupa Goswami and Haridas Thakur, you will respect Haridas Thakur and not Rupa Goswami. You may think that Rupa Goswami is just a young boy, a mere neophyte who knows nothing, but Swarup Damodar will embrace that same Rupa Goswami to his chest, and Mahaprabhu will affectionately pat him on the back and tell him, oh, good boy, how did you know my heart? Try to understand and absorb all these high-class teachings of Mahaprabhu, and don't criticize any Vaishnava. In regard to the first-class devotee, who is always established in his relationship with Krishna, why does he sometimes want another relationship? For example, Narad is an Uttam Mahabhagavat, in the mood of servitude, Dasya Ras, but he also wants to be a gopi. Such devotees are very tricky. They want to taste everything from top to bottom. They are like Krishna. Krishna is also tricky, for he plays with Radhika and he plays with Kupcha. Why did he go to Kupcha? He is fully satisfied with Radhika, but still he wants to taste everything from top to bottom. A Kanishta Adhikari cannot know his own level of advancement, nor can he know how to properly respect devotees according to their respective quality of bhakti. He must be in the association of Madhyam Adhikari. One can know who is Madhyam Adhikari by association and by hearing Harigatha. The Madhyam Adhikari will know some Harigatha, and especially he will be serving the Vaishnavas more than the deities. He has great respect for Vaishnavas, and that is not possible for a Kanishta Adhikari. A Kanishta Adhikari cannot give up serving the deity to respect any devotee, whereas a Madhyam Adhikari can easily do so. A Kanishta Adhikari will consider whether or not something has been offered to Krishna, and then he will give it to that pure devotee as Thakurji's prasad. The Madhyam Adhikari will not see it in that way. When he sees an Uttam Adhikari taking prasad, the Madhyam Adhikari will understand that his offering was millions of times greater than the Kanishta's formal offering. Even though the Uttam Adhikari may not have offered the bhog to Krishna outwardly at all, the Uttam Adhikari has offered the bhog by his eyes and by his heart, and that offering is much more acceptable than a formal offering by a less advanced devotee. Actually, he has offered himself, so there is nothing left to offer. This is very hard for a Kanishta Adhikari or even a beginning level Madhyam Adhikari to understand, because it is a highly elevated stage. Thus ends chapter 9.